stuff, aka money. Welcome to Ford Alliance. I heard Dave Ramsey say it like this: money, it's fun if you got some, right? Ain't that the truth? Today we come to a topic, a little mini series, if you will, on stuff, aka money. And I need you to know this is one of the more intimidating topics to talk about as a pastor, like one of the most, maybe the most. But it's a topic that I know is really important, and that's going to come out in hopefully just a moment for all of us. But here's two of the reasons that it's a little bit intimidating. First, the reason of being concerned about like the guest, the visitor, the first timer, the someone who maybe just scrolled across this YouTube video, you know, by some mystical force in the air, if you will, and here you are, and I know what you're thinking. Typical. Another pastor asking for money. So, before we go on, I want to be really, really clear to those of you who are guests, to those of you who are visiting, to those of you who are first times or just randomly scrolling through this. I and Ford Alliance are not asking for your money, okay? We really are not. In fact, if you are just a guest, a random visitor, someone who's just kind of passing by, we just hope you enjoy this service, this message, that it blesses your heart and soul. But what we really do want, you know, from or for you, that term's going to come out in just a moment, is that you would find a local church in your own community. Like, that's what we really believe matters, that you have a gathering of the people of God that you can connect to and get to know. And so please, for one moment, don't think of that anything that I'm about to say is me asking you for money. It really and truly isn't. It is really just me getting to a topic that I know really matters when it comes to our heart. In fact, that's going to be the theme of this message as we get going on. And so, you know, for you who are guests, visitors, first-timers, kind of passerbys, if you will, online, these next 2 weeks are going to be about the two subjects that I think are the most important when it comes to money: our heart and debt. That's what we're talking about. So you don't have to wonder, you don't have to think, when's the pitch coming? It's not coming for you, and I wanted you to know that. So now that that's out of the way, let me add this for the visitors, the first-timers, the guests who pass by, if you will. One of the reasons why we talk about money is because Jesus talked about money. Now, I've heard it said that Jesus talked more about money than heaven. Has anyone else heard that? I've heard it said like that. Now, that's not entirely true. It's kind of a sort of topic. I mean, if you're thinking of heaven as, you know, that place we go when we meet God after we die, and that's it, like that's kind of your cutoff, if you will, then yes, Jesus talks more about money than that definition of a heaven. But what Jesus actually talks about more than any other subject is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, also referred to in other gospel, in some gospels as the kingdom of God, is about way more than just that place of eternal bliss. And so, you know, when we get to the fall, we're going to unpack a lot further the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, the topic that Jesus talks about more than any other topic, because it is central. It is at the core of his mission and why he came. But that said, nonetheless, he clearly did talk about money. And so for those of you who are guests or who are visiting, who are first-timers, who are the random people who've scrolled through this and gotten here, we're talking about it because Jesus did. Jesus talked about money, so we, the people of God, need to be considerate and talk about money. Now, there's getting out of the first thing, the intimidating thing, if you will. So now let's go to the second one, if you will. What is the church family, those who are connected, committed, you know, a part of the fellowship, we call Four Lines. You know, what are they thinking? What is he going to say? How is this dynamic going to go? This could be really scary. So I'm going to put out right off the bat what's going on in my heart and in my mind. And it's going to be repeated a number of times this morning. And then we'll get to it. And then we'll unpack it from there. So here it is. I'm stealing this, by the way, and I've kind of tweaked it for us. But I'm stealing this thought from Andy Stanley. So it's this. This next 3 weeks is not about what Fort Alliance wants from you. Okay? It's not about what I want from you. The next 3 weeks is actually about what Fort Alliance wants for you. It's about what I want for you. So my hope, my prayer, for those of you who are regulars in our online community or a part of our fellowship who are away right now at weddings or family vacay and are watching and being a part of our service that way, hear me out. This is not about what I want from you, what Fort Alliance wants from you. It's about what we want for you. So with kind of that in mind, whenever you talk about money, it's important to have kind of the family money talk. And those of you who know me well know that I prep like really big picture kind of months in advance. So when I'm prepping for Sunday's services and Sunday's themes and those types of things, I'm doing that well into advance. Right now, I literally have us mapped out to the end of January. That's how far in advance I'm prepping, okay? And so likewise, when I'm prepping for this spring, it's done months and months and months in advance. And that's just how I get ready. That's something that, you know, is important for just my personality type, my mind. And when necessary, and even in the month of May, I had to do this. And those of you who were here at the service know, when necessary, and I really feel strongly that we need to shift on the fly, I will. I'm totally open to shifting on the fly, but I've just found that prepping well in advance just allows me to be and do my best and for us to be and do our best. And so that's why I do that. And so when I was prepping this and planned to talk about and had on kind of the schedule money, our giving was really, really good as a church family. It was steady. Really, for much of COVID, actually, we were really steady. And in fact, I was often careful how I talked about it with my peers because I heard what other churches were going through and I didn't want them to feel bad. I didn't want them to think, about maybe their people or their congregation. And so I was careful because it was so steady and so good. That said, in the last 4 months, we have dipped in our giving, and I only bring that up because that's important for family to know. That's important that we communicate and talk about that stuff. And so that dip on any given month has been somewhere between 15 and 30%. So pretty significant these last 4 months, that giving for us. And I just want to say I get it. Like, I'm a dad with two boys, right? Like, I get it. I mean, providing and supporting a family, it's changing. Like, the world is at war. Interest rates are going up. Inflation is crazy. It's like a hot topic that people want to talk about, right? We're moving from pandemic into endemic. Like, these things are happening. And so this message is not about our giving, but whenever I talk about money, I know it's important to recap. And in July, the elders will give a full kind of their regular report. But that's just where we're at, and it's important to know that. And so as we get that out in the open, I do want to add this, and I'm going to preface it with a comment first. Since I have been here at Fort Alliance, I have not received one anonymous note. Good job. Awesome work, Fort Alliance. Seriously. I do, and I haven't received one, so I haven't had to do this here, but I do have a special filing cabinet for the anonymous notes, though. It's the blue box beside my desk. You know the one I'm talking about. I have, though, received a number of, you know, messages and emails and calls and visits with people who have questions. Even have some concerns over the season that we have been through and want to talk about it. And I want you to know, I appreciate that. I genuinely appreciate. Take a marriage, for example. The kind of most kind of easy way to talk about and illustrate family. Could you imagine if Janelle and I were having, a struggle, if you were, we're in a tricky season, if you were, or if I just had some comments, you know, that I needed to make. Could you imagine if, you know, I wrote a letter and I faked the handwriting, didn't sign it, and then put it in the mailbox and had it arrive so that Janelle could get those? Like, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Because family doesn't communicate like that, do they? No. So, with that understood, I want you to know if you are maybe a part of our Fort Alliance family and you're predominantly online, and I'll say the same thing with those who are in the congregation on Sunday. If you are here on a Sunday, and you have some thoughts or some questions or maybe some concerns or ideas that might be helpful for me and our staff to communicate finances better, we would love to hear. But sign your name and put your email, because depending on how many you get, I might not be able to have all those visits, you know, one-on-one. But we're open, like, because that's what family does. They talk about things like that. And so with kind of like putting that out there, I want to circle back to my previous statement about this being intimidating and what I really want from this as a means to get into the bulk, like the meat of what I want to talk about today. And it's this. I genuinely mean it. This series is not about what I or what Fort Alliance wants from you. It's what we want for you. And these next 2 weeks, I genuinely am going to share with you what I believe to be the two most important kind of big topics, overriding ideas when it comes to money. And so I hope these challenge you. I hope they bless you. I hope they exhort you to better and bigger things in your life, because they're just so, so important. Now, I want to lay a little groundwork with kind of two thoughts here, okay? I don't have time to unpack both these texts, but they're just too significant that I can't leave them out. So here's the first one. I'll preface this one with this. Sometimes, in regards to how we, even me, use our money, we do some stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. You know it's true. And then we go, dear God, I did some stupid stuff. Help. Right? Come on now. I know, maybe not all of you, but I know some of you have done that. But here's the thing. I don't think it works like that. I don't think that's kind of how it works. See, we're actually invited to be participants with God, managers of God's resources. There's one parable. It's found in Matthew 25 if you want to look it up and check it all out for yourself. It's called the parable of the talents. And talent, as we would define it today, is, you know, often thought of as something we're good at. But a talent in Jesus' day was like a big old bag of money, okay? So he's talking about money, but in an effort to make a bigger point or a bigger picture. And to shorten it up, he gives one individual one big bag of money and asks him to take care of it and to manage it. But the manager does some stupid stuff. Then he comes and stands before, you know, the master of the household or what have you, and says, look, here, you know, I at least I'm giving it back to you. That's the best I could do. Here, take it back. And the master in the story, as Jesus tells it, he actually says, go to hell. Now, we don't like to talk like that, but that's the story as Jesus tells it. And so here's what I think matters deeply for us. I know this parable is talking about more than just money. It's talking about our time, our, you know, 2022 talents, what we're good at, what we do. It's talking about our touch, but it is also talking about money and how we use them. And Jesus really wants us to understand this. That how we use our money has internal impact on our hearts. Matters to him. And so it ought to matter to us. Hold that thought, because I'm going to circle back to that heart. One more that I got to talk about real quick. As I'm reading through the New Testament and the Gospels, you know, something really interesting strikes me about Jesus and his conversations around money. He actually, as far as I can tell, as far as I remember, only literally asks for someone to give him money once. Once. He only asks for money once. And this is how the story goes. He's being asked about taxes. And he says, hey, someone give me some money. Give me a coin. And so he takes a coin. And he looks at it and he says, well, whose face is on the coin? They say, well, it's Caesar's. He said, well, okay, here, give the Caesar what's Caesar. And then whoosh, gives the coin back. Here's what's so important for us today. This is Andy Stanley line, okay? Not original to me. Jesus doesn't want to get your money. I'll add something. This is a Ken one. It's already all his, so it doesn't really matter. It's all his anyway. Back to Jesus. Jesus doesn't want to get your money. He wants to keep your money from getting you. Think about that. I think the reason Jesus talks as often as he does about money is because he's not trying to get our money. He's trying to keep our money from getting us. This takes me to the text I really do want us to look at today. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. And it's the passage that comes right before the passage that you saw in the video at the opening. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 24. I'm going to just start with the first couple verses. Let's look at it and we'll go from there, okay? So Jesus says this, don't store up treasures here on earth. And just caveat, I think you could put the word stuff. I think you could put the word money there. Don't store up stuff. Don't store up money. But it says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure, again, I think you can say stuff or money, where your treasure is, there, the desires of your heart, there's that word, will also be. This passage takes us smack dab to a truth that we're all going to have to wrestle with. Death. Right? One day we're all going to stand before God and give an account. And Jesus, in reference that day, says, don't store up your treasures here on earth, store up your treasures in heaven, right? You know what I'm saying? We're going to have to give an account. Random story I came across. This comes from people.com, by the way. You can go look it up. It's a pretty recent article. I want to introduce you to Gunther the Sixth. Beautiful looking German shepherd, isn't he? Here's the background story to Gunther the Sixth, who, by the way, I'll give a little bit of a drop here. He was the richest dog in the world, by the way. Mm-hmm. How about that? More money than all of us combined, for certain, in this room. He is the richest dog in the world. So here's how the story goes. German Countess Carlotta Liebenstein died just as all we will die. And left her $80 million inheritance to Gunther's grandpa, actually. Maybe it was great-grandpa. Gunther III. Mm-hmm. $80 million. Well, Gunther's the third team that they actually, you know, have done quite well with the $80 million, and today have turned that $80 million into $500 million. And Gunther the Sixth recently just made a pretty big, significant transaction. See, Gunther the Third actually purchased Madonna's Miami beachfront mansion for $7 million. And Gunther the Sixth just sold it for $29 million. Wow. Now, let's go back to the text. Do not store up your treasures here on earth, store them up in heaven. One day we will all stand. It takes me back to the Countess Carlotta. What do you think she treasured? Her dog. I got a dog. I'm not against dogs, don't get me wrong, but she left her entire $80 million inheritance to dog. Now, I'm not the judge. Y'all know I believe that with absolute certainty. Thank goodness I'm not the judge. But for just a moment, could you imagine standing before God and giving the account of, I left my $80 million to a dog? I mean, like, that for us is so big, right? That we go, whoo, boy. Now, that is maybe not apples to apples in the income bracket that any of us here run in or any of you online run in. I'm assuming none of you are in that income bracket because you wouldn't be watching little old Kenny Fisher in Fort Saskatchewan if that was the case. I'm pretty sure of it. But nonetheless, it makes a point that matters for us. We will all stand before God and give an account of how we invested our life, where we, you know, stored up our time, our talents, our touch, our treasures, as the text says, how we spent it. We will all give an account. Now, the good news is that we're still on this side of standing before God, so we have the opportunity to step back and evaluate. And so I want to give you like a real simple tool to do that. Just pull out your bank statement or your Visa, MasterCard, whatever it is that you use to do most of your transactions. Just pull it out and take a look. Over the long term, where have you consistently spent your money? Over the short term, where have you repeatedly spent your money? And then ask the question, what does that tell me about where my heart is? For Jesus says, where your treasure is, where your stuff is, there your heart will be also. The text goes on, and 22 to 23 reads like this. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your whole body. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. And when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? Now, honestly, like over my many, many years, I've gone to this passage and I've used it to speak on like purity and lust, particularly sexual lust. But interestingly enough, it's actually put this verse in the middle of two other passages about money, about stuff. And maybe this is just a, you know, fallible human being's interpretation, but I think that's important. Jesus wants us to understand that, you know, comes into our eye as a part of our soul as well. It can bring light or it can bring darkness. And isn't it all too easy to have our eye go to the lusts and the pleasures and the things of this world that are sometimes not even necessary but even deadly and wrong? And then as a means to like scramble to bring those things, to gather them in, we do what? We use our resources, our money, our stuff to get it, maybe more than we ought. And then we get to that place after starting a pattern where we go, hey God, I did some stupid stuff again. Help. So it's important to be aware that the world, the things of this world are trying to lure us in and using that eye to do so. But we must keep, you know, our minds, as Brother Daryl said last week, heavenly focused, kingdom focused. And then it wraps up in 24 for today anyway. And I want to kind of put this in out there first before I get to 24. Many of you here have probably heard this verse. Maybe all of you here right now have heard this verse. Pretend you've never heard it before. Okay? And I'm going to get to a moment where I'm going to say, fill in the blank. And if you had never heard this verse, think about what you would say would be that blank. And for those of you maybe watching online right now, if you have never heard this verse, when we get to the fill in the blank, do it. Like, just maybe out loud, say what you think which should go there. Okay? And if you have heard this verse, again, pretend you haven't, okay? This is so, so interesting. Again, Jesus speaking, continues on like this. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and fill in the blank. Now, I don't know where your mind went, but for me, when I'm doing that activity, if I'm just like hypothetically thinking through this verse, imagining I've never heard it before, and I hear like, you can't serve both God and, I think I would probably fill it in with the devil. Right? Can't have two masters. You'll hate one, love the other, despise one another. You know, but Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say you can't serve both God and the devil, although that's a true statement. He says something strikingly different here. He says you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That lands when we're thinking about the eternal state of our heart again. You can't serve both God and be enslaved to money. Why? Jesus, he said so much, way too much about money for us to be lost financially. It matters to him. And he knows that where our treasure is, our stuff, our money, there our heart will automatically follow. One practical example, then I wrap up. I'm a small fry preacher from Fort Saskatchewan. Is what it is, and I love it. I genuinely love it. I have a very, very small investment portfolio that I do for fun. Okay? Super small fries. But I check those stocks just about every single day. Why? Where your money, your stuff is, your heart is also. It's just a picture. Where we put our money, our heart will be. So we wrap up with the big idea, two thoughts, and an application. We already know the big idea. Where your money is, your stuff is, your heart will also be. Two thoughts to take with that. The first one is this. I don't share any of this because I want something from you. I share it because I want something for you. And Jesus, thought two, he's not interested in getting your money. It's already his. Jesus is not interested in getting your money. He just wants to keep your money from getting you. And so finally, application time. I'd encourage you, seriously, to Take out your banking, your Visa, your statements, and look. And ask, where have I consistently spent my money over the long term? Where am I repeatedly spending it in the short term? And what does that say about my heart? From the words of Jesus, where your treasures are, your heart will also be.